There is a prequel to The Omen that is currently in cinemas. It's called The First Omen. And this, mind you, is a prequel to the original Omen from 1976 and not the remake from the 2000s, which wasn't very good. This one is directed by Arkasha Stevenson, and it very much is a direct prequel to that original film in that the events of this movie flow directly into that one. I went into this with a lot of apprehension. I was a huge, and I am a huge fan of the original Omen. I think it was one of those things where I was far too young when I watched it the first time. It was being shown on TV. RTM and TV3 used to show these movies a lot. And I was terrified. I remember at one point they did, I think, a 3-day marathon where they showed Omen 1, 2, and 3 back to back.
God.
Across 3 days on Malaysian television.
Wow.
Yeah, it was a big thing. I know my parents were very excited about it, and I was not supposed to watch it, but then I did. I think I may have recorded it on the VCR without them knowing and then watched it when they were out.
Can you remember those days when Malaysian TV used to do marathons? What a time.
Great, right?
Yeah.
Ugh.
When it actually felt like they cared about, you know, the audience.
And it was appointment viewing because I remember my friends at school sneakily watching this horror movie that they'd heard about as well. And it was such a big deal. And everyone was kind of scared together and talking about it. It was great.
Yeah.
And so I loved that original film. And, you know, what's great about the original film is there is no sex. There is no violence. There is no gore. It's just fucking scary. Like, it is tension throughout with this creepy looking kid. And like dogs barking suddenly. And like there's all this weird stuff that happens and it's really, really scary. And so I was very apprehensive going into The First Omen. And I wasn't sure what I was going to get. But I left this movie feeling that it was a worthy prequel. I left this movie completely creeped out. And once again, maybe there's one tiny jump scare. Everything else is kind of implied horror based on what you know about Christian mythology and folklore and the Antichrist and prophecies. And it kind of just builds on that idea. And I think it's very well made.
I think it's one of those movies that respects its audience. Yes, it is a prequel. And yes, this is a prequel many, many years later, but they never feel like they have to do that thing where they try and get everybody up to speed, right? They're not concerned about the Muslim in the room who may not know the mark of the devil and 666, right? And I feel like I appreciated that. I appreciated that this movie just went ahead with it. Like, it started, it went. I watched it with someone who hadn't seen the original and he was on board. And I feel like that was important. I think you have to first and foremost succeed as a film. And I think this succeeds as a film, and then it also succeeds as a prequel to a very good film.
Yes.
Never at any point am I sitting there going, why am I watching this? Why did this need to happen?
Also, coming off the back of so many mediocre nun movies.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it is a trope, right? Because people think it's an easy scare. So you make a nun movie. The nunjuring aside, there's the convent la, the devil's la. I think if you Google nun horror movies, there will be at least 50, if not more.
A genre in itself, yeah.
It is a genre in itself. Not all of it's good, not all of it's bad, but I have to say, what The First Omen does is build on all of the things that those movies should do. The creepy convent, the orphans who may not be who they seem, that one sister in the corner who's a little odd and you have no idea whether she's a good one or a bad one. I mean, like, all of these elements are there. The mother superior who might be part of the conspiracy. Like,
yeah,
all of this stuff is happening. And what's great is, as I was watching this, I wasn't sure who to trust in this place where everyone is supposed to be holy and good. So much so that I didn't see the twists, I didn't see the outcome. Everything kind of surprised me.
I really enjoyed this movie. I think because, like you said, this isn't a jump scare movie. I've said it before and I'll say it again. I think a jump scare horror movie is the cheapest of horror movies.
Also because the jump scare horror movie gets you scared in the moment.
But doesn't mean anything afterwards.
Afterwards, you just forget. Meanwhile, movies like The Exorcist, even movies like The Conjuring, the original Omen, for example, because they're rooted in something slightly deeper, the scare, the fear, it lingers.
No, but it's rooted in a good story, right? It's the story of what if your son, who you thought was your son, is the, the fucking Antichrist. That's the premise, right? What if your son is the Antichrist? The Omen itself is a good story, right? Why was Damien given and or adopted by Gregory Peck, the ambassador? Because, bam, 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 bigger plans. So it's all got reasons, right? It's not just some random lady in Minnesota.
Also, I think what's interesting about The First Omen is how they craft that prequel story in giving you new information, but not making it feel contrived. For me, this was a valid backstory. It actually added richness to the other films. It didn't feel forced. It didn't feel like they were making a cash grab and trying to find a story that would somehow tie into this amazing horror franchise.
Of what happens in The Omen and what happens at the end of this, I'm asking questions. I have questions.
Exactly.
Excuse me, Professor. I have questions, right? And I think that's what gets me excited. That's what gets me excited about this, the way The First Omen is the Rogue One of the Omen series or the Omen film, right? It's because it is a, I wouldn't say it's a necessary prequel because that implies that the 1976 film didn't do a good job, but there was an opportunity to go backwards and tell a prequel to that story. And I like that idea. I like the idea of taking an opportunity that's there.
For me, the Rogue One comparison is apt because when they announced Rogue One, we were like, we don't need this.
Yeah.
I don't need to know what happened. Star Wars was fine. And then I watched Rogue One and I'm like, oh shit, that was cool.
Rogue One had an opportunity to tell a story. They didn't look for an opportunity, right? Which is what most sequels are. Oh, what can we do now? What else can we do? Where else can we go with these characters that we love? Whereas a prequel is, hang on, the characters are not important. The story is what's important. Let's build out the opportunity from the story.
We're not going to spoil the movie. There is a lot in this movie to spoil.
Trying very hard not to spoil the movie.
Go into this completely blind. Like in this review, we are just telling you how we feel. We're not talking about the plot at all. But I will say this. There is an epilogue to this movie, which I think is one of the smartest ways I've seen a prequel end, in that it comes up with a clever narrative to maybe make a sequel to The First Omen. So you can tell more stories from this point on and not disrupt the canon of the original three movies. Oh, when I saw that happen on screen, I was like, oh, that is smart because that makes me want more. At that point, I was like, wow, that's nice. Because not only did you craft a story that was valid, that was good, that kept all of the beats of the original, that didn't actually affect the canon, you managed to find a way to build on it and potentially spin it off into something else. That is such a rarity when doing sequels or prequels.
Can I also say the other thing that I found just fantastic was the way they shot it. It is shot exactly like a movie from the 1970s, right? It doesn't feel like a movie that's shot in 2024 that's supposed to be a prequel to a movie in 1976. No.
Even the aspect ratio.
The aspect ratio is weird. It's got the kind of shitty graphic overlay of the movie titles, right? The camera is juttery, like when they're panning across the Rome skyline, it just looks a little like awkward. I just love that, man. Like it felt like a movie from 76. And I thought that was, it didn't feel like a gimmick. It felt like it was important for that story.
The soft focus. Like even the way they shot the disco sequence, you're like, oh. This feels like how they would shoot a disco sequence in the 70s. Like.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, like nothing in that movie felt like 2024, and I appreciated that.
It is a very accomplished film, and I have to say one other thing. Arkasha Stevenson is the director, and there is something different about the way a female director shoots a horror movie. I think if a male director did this, where the point of view was entirely on Nell Tiger-Free and her character Margaret, I think it would have been shot differently. And the way Arkasha Stephen frames her, I don't know how to describe it. It feels different. If you Google horror movies by female directors, there aren't very many. There aren't very many mainstream horror films. But at the same time, even if you look at Jennifer's Body by Diablo Cody, it is shot in a very different way. And I'm not just talking about female gaze. I think it just looks and feels different from a male director making that same movie. Also, because I say that because we've seen this sort of movie from male directors hundreds and hundreds of times.
It's that, right? It's the feel is different. It feels different. It almost feels like the camera is looking at the events unfolding in a different way, because from a masculine point of view, you're looking at a battle sequence. You're like, yeah, let's get going. You want to amp up the male testosterone. But when a female looks at it, it's less that. It's more almost circumspect. It's more introspective. And I think that this movie had a lot of those moments. The scares were never about like, oh no, there's a ghost. Can we fight the ghost? No, it's a, holy shit, there's a ghost. I don't know what to do.
There's a sequence towards the end of the film in which Nell Tiger-Free delivers this very physical performance. And even the way that is shot, I think frames her in a very interesting way. The way the camera looks at her is different, and you can tell as the audience. And I think that is absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Also, just Nell Tiger-Free. I mean, we loved her in Servant, the Apple TV Plus show, which I think too few people watched.
Yep.
But it did have multiple seasons and finished its story, so you should go back and watch it. But man, she is so good in this.
There is, and this is something I loved about her in Servant. You said something earlier about you're not sure who to trust in this movie. Right till the very end, I think right until that third act, I wasn't sure if I could trust Nell Tiger-Free.
Same.
She's got a stare about her that I just love.
I'm like, are you the bad guy? Are you the good guy? Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Are you pulling my leg? Are you not with me on this journey? Are you fooling me as well? Oh, she's so good.
Also, can I just say, Bill Nighy just does Bill Nighy. Like, he doesn't even try anymore. He shows up on screen and he starts talking and I'm just like, hey, it's Bill Nighy.
I wasn't expecting him in this film. I wasn't expecting Charles Dance in this movie, but Bill Nighy's in this movie and I'm like, oh, hey, it's Bill Nighy.
Exactly. Yeah. It feels like it's 1970s Rome, but you know what? You're just Bill Nighy.
There are some prequels I don't need. I don't need to know Father Brennan's story.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So, I don't need it.
Father Brennan is the one character from the original that appears as a younger version of himself in this one. And he is critical to the story of this movie.
Oh, I like this movie.
Oh, me too. I had a lot of fun. I mean, I really went in with low expectations and it didn't exceed those expectations because they were low. This is a genuinely well-made horror film.
For me, I was mostly surprised at the way the movie links up very well to The Omen and how it respects that link. It doesn't decide to just be this cool 2024 version of The Omen, right? Like, oh, let's just redo it, but we start from the first one. I like that they acknowledge, respected Donna, Gregory Peck, Omen, and builds out the universe from there. Builds it out backwards, potentially forwards as well.
The one other thing that I don't know if people will talk about very much when reviewing a horror movie, but I noticed because it really stood out, were all of the costumes. Like, I don't know if you noticed, but everyone looked really good. Not just the nun stuff, which was also kind of pristine, but even in the sequences where Margaret is out in the city and the 70s fashion in Rome, like the production value is phenomenal in this. I mean, this isn't a big budget movie. It cost reportedly $30 million, but it looks amazing. Yeah. Her apartment, and the way the apartment is shot to give you this creepy feel. Her best friend, who is also in the nunnery, or her housemate who becomes her best friend who is in the nunnery, and the clothes that she wears. There is the real sense of design to it, which I think adds to the atmosphere of the film, because when everything goes to shit at the end, it is a slow descent into nastiness. And I like that. It starts off clean and then it slowly descends into nastiness.
The descent into nastiness becomes even more graphic because of where you started. The costumes are clean. everybody's nice and sweet. And then right at the end, when shit goes down, man, shit goes down.
Which I think we should give a word of warning. I'm not sure if much was cut because it didn't look like it was cut. But towards the end of the film, there is some graphicness that I think some people need to be prepared for. I know when I was watching it, I flinched.
There is graphicness, but it is...
it's not gore.
The problem is, it is not a demon getting his head cut off.
No.
What happens there is completely natural and real. And I feel like I appreciated LPF for not being the dumbasses here. I will say they were being dumbasses when they blurred out certain bits in the middle of the film.
Sorry, that was hilarious. It was just etchings on the floor.
It was drawings. It's not even etchings, dude. Someone drew with a pencil that they blurred out some, I guess, cartoon nudity or whatever. But anyway, you're right. I think, I don't want to say what it is, but be prepared. There is some graphicness at the end.
It's good. And it adds to the impact of the movie. It will make you flinch.
Super creepy. Yeah.
So good. Go watch The First Omen in cinemas. You will not be disappointed. I know we've had our fair share of crappy horror movies featuring nuns, but this is not one of them. Check it out. The First Omen is now showing in cinemas. Reach out. Let us know what you think once you've seen it. GogglerMY, all of our social media accounts. You can also email us on podcast@goggler.my or send us a WhatsApp on the Goggler hotline, 012-524-5208. Thank you so much for listening. This is the Goggler Podcast.